السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Ulama Profile with myself, Ubaidullah Boja. Really, it is as if though there is this tasbih with many golden beads that are there. And it is as if though the one portion of the string that bounds it together has been cut loose, and all these golden beads are just falling away from this tasbih. It's such a pace that sometimes we are unable to even understand that the loss of all these golden tasbihs that are going out of our hands. And that is an example of those that are leaving this world from the ulama and the scholars and the pious people. They are going in such quick succession, so many funerals, so many people leaving this world. For us, there are great lessons that we always can learn. The first lesson is we have to prepare for when we leave this world. Otherwise, when we leave this world, we will realize that there's no preparation, and then it's too late. You know, when you're living in this world, in the Akhirah, there's a great difference. While you're living in this world, you build whatever empire you want to in this world. But when you leave the empire and go. However, while you're living in this world, you've got to build your empire for Akhirah. And once you close your eyes, whatever you've built, that's your building, that's your empire. It ceases once your eyes close. And hence you have to build your Akhirah while you are in this world. And if we can do that, then Fustu wa Rabbi al-Ka'ba, we can then use that to be able to be successful in this world as well as in the next. And if we don't use the formula of success for the next world, then we are going to be regretful, and then that regret would not bring any good to us. So the first point for today's program we learn, let us plan for our Akhirah. There are so many people that are passing away, some sick, some just a heart attack at the spur of the moment. It is just Allah Ta'ala uses different excuses, but we all have to leave this world. So prepare for when we have to leave this world. And the second lesson, those that are alive from amongst us, let us value them. We do not understand the value of these people. It is such that when we understand, when we know the value of people, we would be able to benefit from them. We would be able to learn from them. We would be able to use that to our own benefit in Islam. And that is something we all should strive for. I mean, we don't even realize sometimes the pious that live amongst us. The Ulama Profile Program, one of the achievements to the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the fact that the services and the sacrifice and the contributions of the pious come to the fore. And Allah ta'ala has made it, that it is this that creates so much of goodness for us. If we can just learn from them, definitely you will find that in the mercy and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will make us benefit. From amongst those, there were great people that have passed away. We have already spoke to the family, and one is Morana Tahir of Cape Town, who has passed on. Morana was doing some sterling work with the Makatibs, with Morana Ahmed Dokrat and his uncle Ahmed Dokrat. And inshallah, perhaps just a little after the holidays, we will be discussing regarding Morana as well. So we have Morana that passed away. Also in this week, there was one of the ulama from Rustenburg that have passed on. We hope, inshallah, that we will contact the family and in the near future have a program on Morana as well, who was a young alim on his way to masjid where he was going to make imamate. And Allah Ta'ala had destined it for him to leave this world. And that is how we Allah Ta'ala had taken him away on his way to make imamate towards the masjid. So imagine how much Allah Ta'ala has blessed such people. And one other person, one of the prophets that we do today, is Hazrat Murana Iftikhar al-Hasan Sahib rahimahullahu ta'ala, rahmatan wasi'ah, one of the great elderly senior scholars of our time that had passed on now in the month of Ramadan. He was a great alim. And his greatness is such, you know, sometimes when you have the eagerness to want to learn from people, to want to benefit, or just to want to meet people, you will make the time to find it and do it. And that is what happened sometime last year. There was a group of people that went from South Africa, my Honorable Father Mufti Hashim Boja, Murabbil Aziz Lahey, his father-in-law Saliba Lahey, and two, three of the other family members were with. So they said they want to go and meet Maulana Iftikhar al-Hassan Saab Rahimahullah. Maulana was staying far at a distance. So the person said, but you know, if it's 3 hours going and 3 hours coming, I mean, it's a distance. Although in terms of when you travel to places like India and that, you don't ask how far is it, you ask how long will it take to get you there. So in terms of distance, it might not have been that far. But in terms of time to get there and come back, it would take 3 hours to go and 3 hours to come. So then my father then said, no, but we will do it either way, even if it takes us that amount of time. So they reach the place and then they go there, and it takes them 3 hours to get there. And they said, but Hazrat Maulana is not feeling well and he won't see you. So obviously, traveling 3 hours going, another 3 hours back, and unable to meet the guest. So speaking to them, phoning some of the acquaintances that they had, and then Maulana opens his eyes and he says, are there some guests that are here? He said, yes, there are guests that are here, they are from South Africa. And contrary to his normal habit, Maulana says, okay, then let them come in. And my father, Abdulaziz Lahir, the others that were there, they meet Maulana for 5 minutes. For 5 minutes, literally, they've met him, and they take a 3-hour journey back. So 6 hours, only to meet this great scholar for 5 minutes. And by Allah, it was worth every second of that trip. Because Maulana was more than 100 years. But he was a scholar par excellence. And he was one of the great people that was in our midst. And it is sometimes that eagerness we need to have to want to meet people, to want to meet the scholars, to want to meet the elders, to want to benefit from them. Even the gaze of somebody that is that pious in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can have great positive impact in our life. And if we live with the pious, and we learn from the pious, and we benefit from the pious, and we serve the pious, be rest assured, Allah's special mercy will come unto you. Like it is said in Arabic, that in the dhikr al-salihin tanzilu ar-rahma. When we speak about the pious, when we speak about the righteous, when we speak about the friends of Allah, Allah's special mercy comes on us. So when we will speak about that, we will see what a change Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will bring in our life. And for me and you, a lesson that sometimes you need to just go the extra mile to want to be in the company of the pious and see how Allah Ta'ala will make us benefit from the inner spirituality that they have, and how Allah Ta'ala will make it so easy for each one of us. So Maulana Iftikhar al-Hassan was a alim who passed away in the month of Ramadan. Perhaps at the end of the talk, we would discuss his death in a little bit more of a detail. Maulana started his madrasa by a alim that was known by Hafiz Mantu. Now Hafiz Mantu was a great Hafiz in the Kandla area. That is where some of the great scholars, Maulana Muhammad Zakaria rahimahullah, Maulana Muhammad Ilyas rahimahullah, they hailed and they came from this area. And one of the specialities of his Mantu was that he would always have very, you know, obviously when they were students, they would be people that were not known to be great. But as they went forward in life, they grew to be great giants of Islam in the field of knowledge, in the field of tasawwuf, in the field of tabligh. They became to be great alim and great scholars. So Hafiz Mantu rahimahullah was the teacher of many, many, many of such people. He was also the initial teacher of Maulana Iftikhar al-Hassan Saab rahimahullah. And one of the specialities of his mantu is that whoever graduated by him had to read the Quran al-Kareem in one sitting without any mistakes. If you were unable to do that, you were not even considered to be his student. That is how much or what a high level that he wanted in terms of his work. That you would sit and read an entire Quran al-Kareem with no mistakes, then you would be regarded as a hafiz under him. Otherwise, he would not even regard you as his student. Now, as high as this is required from the people, and as great as this is what he was wanting to do, he would say that he had a register of 400 people that were able to achieve this. Meaning they read the entire Quran al-Kareem without one mistake. He had 400 such students. So if the ustad is so great, you can well imagine the level of the students and the level of those people that studied under him. So many, many great scholars then learn under Hafiz Mantur rahimahullah rahmatan wasi'a. Subsequent to that, Maulana went to Kashiful Ulum Nizamuddin to further his studies. But obviously then the weather was not conducive, so then he came back and then he went to Madrasa Muradabad, where he studied for a while, and subsequently he then went to Madrasa Mazahirul Ulum, where he studied there, and they were great giants at that time. Maulana was initially, in terms of his spiritual allegiance, he was attached to his brother, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas, rahimahullah, who he would take spiritual teaching from and he would learn from there. After that, Maulana Muhammad Ilyas, rahimahullah ta'ala, passed on. And when he passed on, his Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Zakaria, rahimahullah, was then very persistent on the fact that Maulana must take bet to Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri, rahimahullah, was from Raipur. Raipur is a village and a district in India which had two very great scholars, Maulana Abdul Rahim Raipuri and Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri. Very great in terms of spirituality, the khanqa and the place of mentorship was there, and it was something that was obviously very well known. Many of the pious would go there. Maulana Muhammad Ilyas rahimahullah would also go there. So Maulana Muhammad Zakaria thereafter suggested that Maulana goes to Raipur and he takes bait to Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri rahimahullah. Maulana then took the bait and was attached to Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri rahimahullah. And generally, in the scholars of the past especially, they would really ensure that those under them would reach a fairly high level before they would just give any sort of khilafah to anything. So Maulana already, while he was a student, Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri rahimahullah would give him khilafah and make him a khalifa of Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri rahimahullah. He was fondly known as Sufi Iftikhar. In the Abbati, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Zakaria rahimahullah made mention of it several places, that Maulana Iftikhar al-Hassan Sahib rahimahullah, he was known as Maulana as Sufi Iftikhar. And this is how Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Sahib rahimahullah would make mention of Hazrat Maulana Iftikhar al-Hassan Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala. Thereafter, Maulana graduated, and upon his graduation, he was then decided to go back to his hometown of Kandla, where he was to serve the people of Kandla. I think let's take a quick break, inshallah. After we take a quick break, when we return, we speak about Maulana's lifestyle and his services to the people of Kandla and the surrounding areas, and we then take lesson from there for each one of us. Allah Ta'ala grant us the understanding and the ability to use our time productively. Let's take a quick break, and when we return, we carry on, inshallah. So, Sufi Iftikhar, rahimahullah, Maulana Iftikhar al-Hassan Sahib, rahimahullah, was a very pious scholar who lived more than the age of 100 years old. He studied initially with Hafiz Mantu, who was very, very strict in terms of the quality of huffaz that he would want. And thereafter, he graduated from Madrasa Mazahirul Ulum in Saharanpur. Subsequent to that, Maulana then left and he went to his hometown, whereby he would serve them from the time he graduated right up to the time he passed away. It is said that, you know, Maulana was such that Maulana done tafsir of the Quran al-Kareem in his hometown for 52 years. Let it just sink in for a while. Maulana taught the tafsir of the Quran to the local people in his community for 52 years. Every day after Fajr, Maulana would spend an hour and a half trying to explain the Quran al-Kareem for 52 years. Maulana spent in terms of teaching the Quran al-Kareem. And in this time, he made three khatams of tafsir. So he would start the Quran al-Kareem, and then he would carry on, carry on, carry on, until he finished it. When he finished it, he would start again. So one day his mentor then asked him that, like, currently which kitabs are you reading? So in that he replied, and he gave 14 different tafsir that he was reading to his mentor so that he would prepare for the lesson the next day. And this is only the kitabs that he was reading while he was preparing for the next day's tafsir. And it took Maulana 52 years to be able to just teach the tafsir after Fajr Salah. It is said that sometimes Maulana would spend days on only one ayat. And some ayat, Maulana would spend up to a month just explaining one ayat of the Quran al-Kareem. 1 month Maulana would spend just in making tafsir of one ayat of the Quran al-Kareem. That means sometimes up to 30 hours on one ayat of the Quran. How much of knowledge would be required to just speak on one ayat for such a long time? And it is said that the people of the time, their knowledge grew to such an extent, in terms of tafsir, some of them knew more than the ulama also. Because every day if you're sitting in such, in an alim who's reading up to 14 different books, to be able to explain to you the ayat of Quran, imagine how much of knowledge would the people of the area have. And that it was Maulana's contribution to the people and his understanding of Quran. He was a mufassir of Quran. While we are at it, perhaps let's just discuss it. Maulana was not just a hafiz of the Quran al-Kareem. He was a mufassir. He had deep understanding of the Quran al-Kareem. Maulana was just not a mufassir of hadith. He was a hafiz al-hadith. But he was just not a person who understood hadith. He was a person who memorized hadith as well. It is said that Maulana himself makes mention in some of the references that I was going through, that Maulana knew more than 6,000 ahadith with the narrators and the book of where it was narrated in. So there were 6,000 ahadith. He would give the narrators the whole chain of where it was said, and he would then make mention and he would reference the book as well. So to know so much of by heart, scholars that would sit in his lecture would say, it is almost as if though verbatim he is reading a book that is in front of him, yet it is all from memory. There are many Arabic texts from the books that he would read, as if though he just read it now and it's just a photographic memory that is just going along. And that is how much Maulana would have an understanding of the Quran al-Kareem and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One unique thing about Maulana's lectures is that when he would start, he would give you the hadith, like how we say in the khutbah of the lecture, but he would give it with the entire chain of narrators. Then when he would start, he would give you the chain of narrators, then the hadith that is mentioned, the sahabi that makes mention of the hadith, he would give you the life of that sahabi, then he would explain the hadith, and he would give you the different references. So it becomes almost like a complete hadith lesson, just that one lecture of his. So Maulana's understanding of Quran was very amazing, and equally his attachment to hadith was so amazing as well, in terms of just the presentation that he would do to the people that were there, or to the listenership that was there as well. When Maulana's, another thing about Maulana that is made mention, is that wherever Maulana would go to, in terms of a lecture or anything, Maulana would always make a habit that he would always first give the talk and then he would have meals at the place. So sometimes people would tell him, but Maulana, let's eat first. He said, no, first I will give the lecture. And this was his habit for always. So then people said, but Maulana, why do you always insist that you would give the lecture first? He says that once you eat the food of a person, then you are obliged to be cautious in what you say, not wanting to say something against your host. But when you're saying something, you have a lecture that's prepared, you understand your topic and your content matter, you could say what you want to say, not in the least concern of harming anybody or having ill feelings about anybody, then afterwards you can have your meal at ease. You are not then have this, you know, this favor on your back that you have to see. So that is why Morana, wherever he would go, he would first speak his lecture, and thereafter, subsequent to that, then only he would partake of meals that were there. Another aspect of the life of Maulana Iftikhar al-Hassan Sahib rahimahullah is that he would have a very, he was a good amil. A amil means if people were, you know, affected by black magic or sihr or nazar or anything, his ta'weezes were very, very helpful, and it was very, very beneficial to those people. But Maulana had a habit that when people would come, he would wait till there was a fairly big group of people, and this would be on a daily basis. So they would come and he would gather them in one particular room, a bigger room, and then for half an hour he would address them, knowing full well that these are people who are desperate, they need help. So he would then encourage them of coming to the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would encourage them to change their life, bring a better stuff in their life. And thereafter he would say, look, because you are coming and because you're insisting I'm giving you this ta'weez, it's not worth much. However, remember one thing is that read every day two rakats of salah, and immediately after that recite istighfar 100 times. And he would tell everyone to do this. And he would say that the person reading the salah, this alone is going to be a cure for him. And istighfar, the benefit of that is everyone knows from the Quran and the hadith. And thereafter he would say, because you asked me and you have good thoughts, then here is the ta'weez, take it. And in that way, people would take it, but Allah Ta'ala had put a great effect on the ta'weez that Maulana had written, and thereafter people would change their life, and Maulana would then give them that advice of bringing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their life, bringing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in their life, in this way, effecting change in the people that were there. Maulana was such that he realized at some point that, look, there's a great change and a quick change in what is happening to the people in terms of their spirituality. The zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not as much as it ought to be. It needs to be increased much, much more. And because of that, Maulana undertook that both in his own local area as well as the surrounding areas, Maulana then created this gathering of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is something which is very important. Perhaps for you and I as well, we need to have a consistent, abundant remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in what we do. Because this is something that Allah has ordered us to do in abundance. Salah, Allah has stipulated. Zakat, Allah has stipulated. Fasting, Allah has stipulated. But when it comes to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had then specifically made mention, اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا, that remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. That is the command that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us. So we should not be falling short in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be very, very perpetual, and we should be consistent in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this, Maulana established many such groups where people go and they start learning and they start making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala used Maulana for this particular aspect regarding a bringing about the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maulana spent many, many years in terms of serving the people of the area of Kandla. More than 52 years he served the people of the local area. But as he grew older, for the last 5 years, perhaps a little bit more, Maulana was then not as busy as he would be in helping the people, because obviously at that time Maulana wasn't well, he was in the latter part of his life. It was such that at that time people would come and then, you know, they would want to meet Maulana, and then there would be a time stipulated, the people would just come there, greet Maulana, he's one of the khadim that was there, would hold Maulana's hand, they would make a bit of salam, and then they would go. And after that, if Morana felt that, look, we cannot go on like this now because Morana is tired or Morana needs a bit of rest, and he would tell them, "Bus, okay, now give me some time." Then the visitors then would be seen, and obviously the next day they would carry on or they would come back to meet Morana if he had the time and if he had the energy to be able to do so. Obviously, being over and above the age of 9500, it does bring about the physical tiredness, which is very much understandable for people at that time. So accordingly, Morana then would just excuse himself from meeting the visitors. Now, to understand the greatness of Morana and his achievements, and why is it so important to learn from such people? Morana passed away in the month of Ramadan, which alone is such a great tiding. And thereafter, Morana passed away in the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, which is even a greater benefit. And then Morana passes away in the odd night of the month of Ramadan. And thereafter, Morana passes away on the 27th night of the month of Ramadan. How elders tell us that from all of the night that is there, one of the greatest nights in the month of Ramadan, whereby it could be Laylatul Qadr, is the 27th night. So imagine Morana, in terms of passing away in the month of Ramadan, on the 27th night of the month of Ramadan. Imagine how great Morana was. And it is said that, you know, Morana, when he would get visitors just before he passed away, it was not like 10, 20 people coming, but then he would get 700, 800 people coming to visit Morana daily. Sometimes up to 1,500 people would just come and meet Morana. 1,500 people would come daily to just meet Morana. That is how much Allah Ta'ala had blessed Morana and how much of acceptance Allah Ta'ala had given him. So Morana passed away in the last part of the month of Ramadan on the night of Laylatul Qadr. And it was such that it is said that once the news had spread that Morana had passed away and then people had started coming, for that day alone, the family estimate that there was approximately 100,000 people that only came to meet and pay their respect to the family of Morana. 100,000 people that had come just to meet Morana. Understand, friends, I mean, what personality we have lost in our life and in our era. The greatness of Morana we can all well understand from there. Morana's then janaza salah was read at Eidgah, where they normally have the Eidgah, where they normally have the place for Eid. That is where Morana's janaza was left. And what was amazing is that Morana, a few years ago, he had completed the Khatmul Quran al-Kareem tafsir. So he called many, many people to come and be part of this, because naturally it's a great thing. So as they came, it was also held in this particular place. So Morana then called the gathering there, and it was many people that were called and they were invited. And obviously the Khatmul Quran of the tafsir was done. And in that very place where the Khatmul Quran of the tafsir had taken place, that is where Morana's janaza salah had left. If anyone had to see the pictures or on social media that was going around, and if anyone had to see the size of the janaza salah, you would understand the great personality whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had blessed us with. So to just understand the life of Hazrat Morana Iftikhar al-Hassan sahab, rahimahullah. Morana graduated his hifz and Hafiz Mantu. Hafiz Mantu was such that he had a rule that no one could complete the hifz by him unless they don't read the entire Quran al-Kareem without any mistake in one sitting. That was the condition. And as hard as this condition was, Morana Mantu, Hafiz Mantu rahimahullah, had more than 400 people or students that had achieved this. Morana then graduated in Mazahirul Ulum in Saharanpur. He was first spiritually attached to his brothers, Morana Muhammad Ilyas rahimahullah, and subsequent to that to Morana Abdul Qadir Raipuri rahimahullah. Morana then served the people of the Kandla area, and for 52 years, Maulana taught tafsir of the Quran al-Kareem every day after Fajr. Sometimes days would go where just one ayat would be discussed. Sometimes a month would go where one ayat would be discussed. And that is how much of in-depth knowledge Maulana had. One day his ustad had taught him that, had asked him, what books are you reading at the moment? And in that Maulana replied, 14 different tafsir books he made mention of. Maulana was also the shura of Mazahirul Ulum. For more than 50 years, he served as the executive, at the shura, at the advisory board of Mazahirul Ulum in the Saharanpur area. In the last part of his life, there would be up to 700 people that would come and visit Maulana while he was ill, sometimes going up to 1,000 people. That is how much Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had granted the respect and the honor of the people, of Maulana in the hearts of the people. Maulana had passed away on the 27th night of Ramadan, and there was a great crowd that was there in the life of, in the Janazah Salah of Hazrat Maulana Iftikharul Hasan Sahib Rahimahullah. So respected listeners, these were just some of the things that I was able to go through in terms of preparation for the program. So Allah Ta'ala had made it that these are great, great people whom Allah Ta'ala had blessed us with. Let us, there are probably a few that are still left in our area. Let us benefit from them. Let us learn from them. Let us make it a habit of wanting to bring that difference in our life. Let us want to change. Let us benefit from the pious. We will never know who is how pious they are. Benefit from them. Learn from them. Try to bring a change in our life from them and see how much Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will make us benefit from such people, and Allah Ta'ala will give us the ability to bring a change of life in us. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the understanding. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability to spend and come our time in the company of the pious, and may Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala grant us all goodness in this world and in the Akhirah. Whoever is ill, may Allah grant them complete shifa. Whoever is going through any difficulty, may Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulty. Whoever is going through any personal challenges, may Allah Ta'ala make it easy for them. And may Allah bring a spiritual change in my life, the life of the listeners of Radio Islam, and all of those that have passed away. That's some of the aspects that we had discussed, or we had read, or we have heard about Maulana Iftikharul Hasan Rahimahullah. I'm sure there is much, much more, but inshallah, as we learn more, we will try and share it with the listeners. May Allah Ta'ala reward each one of us. From myself, Ubaidullah Boja, Brother Usama was behind the controls. Until next week, inshallah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.